Hi, I'm Randy McLean, the president of Waypoint Analytics, and I'm here with Bruce Merrifield. Bruce and I have some great discussions today about limiting beliefs, and we have a series of videos that we'd like to introduce to you. And in each one, we're talking about some of the things that we run into in the market and within our customer base and outside the people that we are exposed to. And we've noticed a number of things that keep people from being able to move forward into the present or into the future. And having some discussion, some thought, and some rethinking and some modification of these limiting beliefs can be a great aid in helping your company make the leap into hyperspace. So we'd like very much to talk about those things and see if some of these things apply to you or your people and can help you move forward. So Bruce, we were having a discussion about the limiting beliefs, the things we run into frequently that basically hold people back. You know, I know that there were certain things I was taught in the early days when I was doing selling or when I was a sales manager and whatnot that I've carried forward. And they were just fundamental truths
sure.
that I use for running the business. And as we spend more time in Waypoint, start understanding what the forward-looking companies are doing, we start feeling that a lot of this stuff is out the window. It basically isn't relevant in 2015
sure.
or 2016 or 2017.
Sure.
And so I thought it would be interesting to have a discussion about some of these things and hit them head on. Because, frankly, a lot of people if we don't challenge these things, people are going to not be able to get out of their own way to be able to help their companies
right.
move forward.
Right.
So one of the first ones that that we hear is that, well, you know, when you do this cost to serve math thing and you start working out and doing line item profit analytics, you know, all costs are fixed. So it doesn't really matter if you calculate this stuff and if you make this one account more profitable by reducing the amount of deliveries they take, then the other deliveries in the company get more expensive because there's just, you know, the costs shift off. The costs haven't actually gone anywhere.
Right, right.
And so one of the things that we point out to people, or I point out to people, is that that would be true in a closed system where you're going to have the same number of deliveries no matter what, and you have the same number of customers buying the same product, the same price. That would be true. Mathematically, that'd be true.
Right.
But what really happens when you get a number of benefits of taking a single account and reducing the cost that they're consuming. The first one is you free up slack. You free up space for to do deliveries to other people with the infrastructure that you have.
Mm-hmm.
So you can accommodate growth without having to add a truck or headcount or that kind of thing.
Right. Well, that bumps into two more beliefs, which is that if we lost any customer, any dollar of margin,
right,
because everybody's here right now,
yeah.
we're not firing anybody right now,
mm-hmm.
so the margin dollar has to come out of the bottom line, one. Two, people will just sit, and here's the second thing, we have to keep them busy.
Oh, yeah.
It's busy workers or happy workers. It goes back to, you know, stopwatch, you know, keep them busy. So then the related assumption is, well, one more order, our people, they're doing FaceTime, you know, and
yeah.
they're goofing off. They're talking to their friends on the phone, whatever.
Yeah.
We can take care of a few more orders.
Yeah.
You know, let's keep them busy.
No, I'm sold on this because...
And if we only had two or three more orders a year, that would be true, right? But if we have 10,000 more orders, we've got full-time people doing nothing but taking care of losing line items.
Oh, no, that's exactly right. And I know this cold because I burned up $8.5 million of my own money with this philosophy in a previous company. I had this idea that, you know, we had this business that we did, but people weren't busy, so I'd bring in this other business that really wasn't our business, and
right.
that would fill up the slack. And what happened, the reality in retrospect, was this.
Sure.
I brought in a lot of money-losing business I could never generate profits on.
Mm-hmm.
That put an additional load on the business I was always making, I already had, which was marginally profitable.
Right.
And it completely prevented me from being able to go out and get more of the business that we made money on.
Right.
Completely prevented that. And it put me in a mode where when I did get more of the good business, I had to make infrastructure increases. I had to hire people. I had to expand plant. I had to do all kinds of things
right.
to be able to accommodate good business because all of my slack was used up
mm-hmm.
through dysfunctional business that I'd layered on because I had this thought process that said, I got to keep things busy. I got to keep it going. And at least there's some gross profit coming in the door.
Right.
And what I wasn't thinking was there was even more cost coming in the door
right.
For that business. It was a complete disaster. And it was the biggest financial mistake I've ever made with my own money.
Well, and Randy is Exhibit A
yeah.
as to why, you know, distributors need cost-to-serve math course, which we've developed, because For 500 years, we have had financial numbers. That's when the balance sheet was invented, et cetera. And it's basically geared towards paying your taxes on time and having audits done so you could borrow money against your assets. It has nothing at all to do with how the service productivity redeployment goes on in a business. Distribution is basically a variable cost business.
Yes.
If you look at all of the people.
It's inherently that.
Exactly. Salespeople make 5 calls a day. If they, if for those each sales call, they could get $200, $300 more in margin dollar per sales call on
account. The same accounts, on the same delivery,
that
on the whatever.
That would be absolute productivity. Yeah. Inside salespeople, they turn their crank 15 times a day as far as orders taken or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And if they could have 30% more dollars in the line item and the order that they're cranking, they just got 30% more productive. Warehouse guys, so they go to do a pick, and they're going to pick 50 cents or they're going to pick $50 in margin.
Right.
For the cost to drive it over, picking it up, and you know whatever, they got more productive. If a truck stops and delivers $500 a margin instead of $50 a margin.
And that is the key. It's not how many dollars are coming in. It's how many dollars are coming in per unit of logistics, by headcount, by delivery, by invoice you're writing. Because too many companies are totally focused on going out to get the sales force, say, go bring me some more business.
Right.
And they do, but they just bring in a little piece of unprofitable business rather than bringing in more business from a place where this truck is already stopping.
Sure.
Or bringing doing something to increase the size of the orders going out by reducing the number of truck stops per unit amount of business. If you're doing the opposite of that as a company, just bringing in new business, regardless of where it comes from, you may be growing your revenue line, but I guarantee you, at some point, you get smaller and smaller orders further and further away from the distribution center, and that means that you're basically increasing the losses that the company's taken or eroding the profits.
Sure.
And that's what we've been done, and that core thing comes from that thought process that says our costs are fixed, so we got to apply more business to the costs that we have.
Sure.
And what has been totally unmanaged is how do we use our infrastructure, our cost structure, more effectively and spread it on new business that we have plus new business that we don't have.
Yeah, so here's a question, which is that if you, the typical P&L for a distributor of total operating costs, 65% is people costs.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say easily 50 of the 65 points would be, you know, outside sales, inside sales, data entry, you know, warehouse people, drivers, you know, buyers, and so forth.
All the things people you have to represent the logistics costs of doing business.
So if you could somehow grow the gross margin dollars annually supported per full-time equivalent employee by, say, 20% or 30%, that pretty much pounds to the bottom line.
That's the one thing that does go to the line.
That's where the economy of scale comes
from. This whole idea that you get more margin goes to the bottom line, hogwash.
Yeah.
It's what goes to the bottom line is where you can reduce the infrastructure costs.
And the way you do that is by building margin dollar per line item, margin dollar per order, margin dollar per customer. You want a bigger share of the right customers.
Yes.
So, again, those are upstream metrics.
But you want less cost to serve percentage per margin or dollars per customer, per line item, per territory as well.
Well, what happens is, you know, actually, if I got 20% larger margin dollar per order, my cost to serve stays the same, but the margin dollar went up with no more cost to serve. So that's why cost to serve seems to be dropping as a percent.
Yeah, just as long as you're not adding infrastructure to over-support unprofitable businesses.
Now, here's the key point, which is that because we have been so pounded forever to realize that 35% margin, that's a good margin, we're making money, or just more margin dollars into the bottom line. To get cost to serve math, you know, you gotta watch it and talk about it and chew on it 5, 6, 7 times. Look at it before people really start to say, "Oh, I'm getting it."
Yeah. So, well, that's true. But for you, if you get it, you basically open the gateway to higher profitability, overperforming your territory, your market, your association, and your company's history.
Right.
So it's really important. All right, so I want to thank you for spending some time with us. I hope that this one aspect of limiting beliefs are this discussion is something that you can think about. Maybe you have some limiting beliefs or this limiting belief, and you can start to rethink that process, and that'll open an avenue to having a much higher performance in the future. So thank you very much, and we'll see you in future videos.